Well, we have this amazing description from the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, found here in Philippians chapter 2. Let me just read verses 8 to 11 again, just to fix it in our minds. And speaking of the Saviour, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, any real information that we have concerning our God and his person comes from the Bible. The Word of God is a revelation. It is a revelation, a revealing from God of things that are so important to us. And here we have tremendous information concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thinking here of these words that we've just read together, it's the greatest mistake that we could make to underestimate the Lord Jesus Christ. Either we underestimate him in what we call theology, the information that we have from the Bible concerning the Son of God. We underestimate him as to his importance for our lives, his importance in the creation of the world, his importance in the future, everlasting age. If we underestimate these things, we make a terrible mistake. Here we have glorious information concerning the Saviour and who he is and what he has done. And if we ignore such theology, if we ignore such spiritual information and truth given to us in the Bible, then we shall make wreck of our lives, and we shall stand before God one day as we quit this world and have nothing to say, and there will be nothing to bring us safely into eternity. Well, also, of course, it is the greatest mistake that we could make concerning the Lord Jesus Christ if we think about him generally. If we should think of him as just a person in history, if we should think of him as just a good man or a founder of a world religion, and just think to ourselves that he is really just one of a number that have founded world religions, Muhammad and others such like. Oh, friends, that would be the greatest mistake. If we should generally think and have such a low estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible teaches us is the very Son of God, so it is the greatest mistake we could make to underestimate the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has always been equal with the Father. You will know that Christians believe from the Scriptures, they believe in a Trinity, that God is one God, but he is three persons. We cannot explain it, but we believe it. We understand somewhat the reasons for it as we see God in his three persons working and having a different office and purpose, and the Lord Jesus Christ doing things that the Father in a sense doesn't do, and the Spirit doing things that the Father and the Son do not do. Well, I say that very carefully, because whenever you speak of the Trinity, you're almost bound to get into error, because it's so difficult to speak of the three who are one and the one who are three. But I think you understand what I'm saying. But we must understand this, that Jesus Christ has always been equal with the Father. The eternal Son of God was with the Father in the beginning, or before the beginning. There is no time when we come to speak of God, but before this world was ever made, the Son and the Spirit were at one with the Father. They were the same substance, and they were the same God, one God. And we read here of this one here in verse 7 of our chapter, that he made himself of no reputation. Oh, friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he was the eternal Son of God. He took upon himself and took to himself a human body and a human soul and mind. And friends, he came into this world without a reputation. He was born, as you well know, a humble babe in Bethlehem. He was born and grew up in an obscure village in Israel. And friends, he had no reputation until he began to teach until he began to show himself to be truly the Son of God by his mighty miracles and his sinless life, and then, of course, by his death and glorious resurrection and ascension to heaven. But while he was here, most of that time, he had no reputation. In fact, even when he began to teach, he was hated. He was spurned. He was scorned. He was told that he had the very devil in him. Oh, friends, he made himself of no reputation as he came into this world. Look here, verse 7. He took on him the form of a servant. That wasn't an apparition, friends. The Bible clearly tells us he was a real man, as well as being the eternal Son of God. And also the form of a servant. He came to serve. He came to minister to sinners that they might be saved. He came to minister to those who began to love him and trust in him. And he would serve them by his death on the cross and by his praying for them. He was made in the likeness of man, not just the likeness. He was really a man. And then as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself. Could he humble himself anymore? Here is the eternal Son of God being made one of his creatures. He comes into this world, but then he humbles himself again and became obedient to his Father's will and purpose to save men and women and youngsters. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most wretched death that anyone could undergo in those days. And then we read here in verse 9 that for these reasons God highly exalted him. Well, we read in these verses that he could not receive more honour than he did, as we read here. You might think, as the Son of God, could he receive any more honour? He is the God-man. But this honour is seen in these verses as being given in a name. And that's what we want to explore here tonight. It may seem a difficult concept to start with, but you'll easily see what I'm driving at and what the Bible is saying. Here we read in verse 9, because of this Son of God coming into the world in this way, being obedient to death, wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, everyone in heaven and in earth and under the earth in hell, everyone should bow to him. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign, King of the universe, to the glory of God the Father. Well, friends, let's explain this. He is given a name. He is given a name above every name because of what he has done and of what he is and who he is. He obeyed perfectly the law of God. Perfectly. He lived a sinless life. He made a name for himself. Can I say that? We often talk of people that are sort of movers and shakers, I think is the modern expression, and they invent something, or they do well in business, or they become a famous politician, and we say, well, they've got a name for themselves. They've made a name for themselves in some area, in some profession, or in some deed that they've done, or perhaps some sporting achievement. They made a name for themselves. Oh, friends, that doesn't compare with what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in making a name for himself, and this wonderful name that the Father in heaven has given to him, a name which is above every name, far more famous, far more noble, far more wonderful than any name that has ever been named in this world. He died and took upon himself all the penalty that we deserve because of broken law, and he became famous for this. Oh, I use these words, friends. I hardly dare to use them because we're speaking of the Saviour. And these are words we often use of men and women that have done something in this world, in history, or even today. We say they're famous for something. But to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is famous is something way beyond what we usually mean. He is famous. This death of the Saviour and his life, well, and this resurrection, that wasn't done in a corner. It was done so that all the world would know of it, would hear of it one day, even as we do, as we read our Bibles today. This word that has been preserved down the centuries is a famous name. Of course it is. Oh, friends, this is wonderful. This is glorious and far above anything that we could think of others in this world. A time is coming, we read here, when every knee shall bow to this one who has such a famous name and who has made a name for himself. Even those that have rejected him, even those that have despised him, friends, they will stand before him and he shall be their judge. And they will bow before him. There have been some amazing judges in the world, some wretched judges. Well, we can think of a marvellous judge, and that was Moses himself. Moses, he was the judge of the people at that time. God gave him the law, and he explained it to the people and put it upon them. Why, humanly speaking, we would say that Moses was the greatest judge and lawgiver that the world has ever known. Of course, we know that it was all through his God. We know it was all through his obedience. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth, we read of him. And he brought the law to the people and judged righteously. A wonderful judge. And he appointed others also that they might judge. So we have a very good example in Moses. But oh, friends, Jesus Christ is the judge with such a name for equity and fairness and justice. And oh, friends, he is the judge of all the earth. Well, of course, there have been other judges. There was that judge Jeffreys a few hundred years ago who really persecuted Christian believers in this country. And he was known as the hanging judge. And many people were persecuted through Judge Jeffreys. Or that infamous judge, the judge of Israel, Pilate. Oh, what a wretched man. What do we remember him for? Well, from what I understand in history, he did some pretty good things. He was quite an administrator. That's why he was given one of the toughest jobs at that time, to go and be the administrator and the judge in, of all places, amongst the Jews in Judea, there in Jerusalem and Caesarea. But oh, friends, what do we remember of his judgeship? What do we remember of this man? He made the most wretched judgment. He condemned to death the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he also knew in his own heart had done nothing worthy of death. But he was persuaded and cajoled by the Jews at that time, so that they hounded the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. And Pilate's judgment was that he should be scourged and then crucified. Oh, wretched, awful. But he has a name. We remember him as we remember Moses, of course, for different reasons. But oh, friends, far above all that is remembering the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the judge of all the earth, and will be the judge of all the earth that will do right. And we shall stand before him one day, and we shall understand something of his name and reputation for justice, and we shall cower in his presence and tremble and fear and ask the mountains and the rocks to fall on us because of that judge whose eye will be upon us if we have not come and sought the Saviour and know his blessing. Oh, look at this, what it says here in the Bible about the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. This name refers to a number of things concerning the Saviour. Of course, it refers to his office, as we've just been thinking. He is the judge, but also his office as the mediator, the one that comes and brings us the message of salvation from God and the message of warning and judgment from his God. It was his office to be the mediator, to become a man, the go-between between us and our God, and to bring God's message to us. And also, this name, of course, refers to his reputation. Well, he came into this world and put aside his reputation, but now he has come, and now he has died, and now he has lived his glorious life, perfect life, his miraculous life, and risen from the dead and gone to glory. And now his reputation is above anything that we can measure in this world, far above it. We might have some men and women in this world who we hold in reputation. We might have reasons for that, good reasons even. But friends, it doesn't come on the same scale as the Lord Jesus Christ. His reputation really is overall in this world, far above anything that we might measure. But of course also, this name of the Saviour, as very often in the Bible, the name refers to his character. Oh, he is the pure Son of God. He is the compassionate Saviour. He is the one that loved the world and with his Father came into this world to save sinners. And his character is the one that understands us completely. And he is the one that sees the misery of our sin and its consequences. And his character is such that it is all love and compassion and merciful and gracious. Oh, this is the name of the Saviour. Jesus Christ is greater than all others. He will be and he is highly exalted above any reputation of anyone that there is in this world. You know, no accomplishments will really survive time except for Christ's offering of righteousness. Oh, there have been many accomplishments in this world. We think of those engineers, if you like, Brunel. What comes to mind, the great railways and bridges that he built, he had a reputation and so much accomplished. We have men putting their footprint on the moon. We have those politicians that have helped their countries out of times of war to peace and prosperity. We have had those great people that have gone with great kindness into difficult situations and given themselves to save physically the lives of children and adults in the most terrible situations. Of course, great accomplishments. Those that have conquered whole empires. Well, we're not so interested in that, but we see that it is an accomplishment. But none of those things will survive. Nothing really will matter except this, what the Son of God did. This, what Jesus of Nazareth did as he died upon the cross in the place of sinners like us. That's the thing that will survive. That's the great accomplishment. That's the great work of God that he did on our behalf that we might be saved and go to his heaven. Or the atonement, the payment for sin upon the cross, is the thing that is eternal, the thing that is wonderful and will be remembered by angels and men and women throughout all eternity. It's what Christ did, what he accomplished as he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. If we go to heaven, it will not be because of any of our accomplishments, but because we trusted in the name of Jesus Christ. We trusted in his reputation. We trusted in his office. We trusted in his character. We trusted our very souls to him. We knew that he was the only one that could save us. And because he died on the cross, he is the only one we can come and believe in at this time for the forgiveness of our sin. And you know, he is the only triumph of the human race. All other triumphs are really petty. Even those, well, you think of someone like Napoleon and people writing history. What a reputation he had. What a triumph that he should conquer all of Europe. But what misery he brought. How many millions, especially of Frenchmen, died, and also others. Well, when he was going about his own personal ambition to be the emperor of Europe. Oh, friends, you see it. Well, other things not so bad in the accomplishments of men. But, friends, the only real triumph of the human race is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that has lived a sinless life. He is the only one that has truly loved his God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength. He is the only one that truly loved his neighbour in such a way that he would cure the leper. He would give eyes to the blind. He would make the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. And he would raise the dead. And he was the one that would weep at the grave of Lazarus and call him forth to life. Oh, friends, these are the triumphs that will be remembered through eternity. All others will fade out of mind and mean very, very little. Oh, friends, but this one, he is triumphant in all he does. The name of the Saviour, it conjures up great triumph and great victory as you think of what he has done. And you know, life without him is vain, is futile. Really, a life lived without Christ is a complete and utter waste of time. And we shall find that as we stand before God, that's what it will seem. And that will be what will be the reality as we have to give an account of God, to God as to how we have lived our lives in this world. Life is so vain. We're so consumed by shallow things. Oh, of course, we know that we're human beings. God understands that. There are little things that help us get through life, little entertainments, little pleasures. The food here, watching something here, discovering something there, really being instructed in things and learning. Well, of course, these are all things that are right and proper, but they all seem to pale into insignificance when we think of what the Saviour has done and the life that he lived and the reputation that he has in our minds and hearts just now as we see what he has done. What a name! What a name! This name is given, and with this name he is highly exalted. Let's think just shortly about this name of the Saviour. What is his name? Wow. Friends, this is a study that many believers have done over the years, but just a few things to remind us of here tonight. He is the Son of God. That's his name. He is God, distinct but equal with the Father and the Spirit. He is eternal. He is the creator of this world. He is our maker and benefactor. He is the Son of God. He is God. This is the one whose name is highly exalted. We think of him in such a way. And he is the Word of God. Well, of course, we have the written Word of God here in the Bible. But he is the living Word of God, the Word from the Father, the everlasting Word, the Word that brings a message to us of salvation into this world. He is the Word of God. Oh, friends, this is the name that is highly exalted, the name given to him. He is the very Word of God, the very expression of God, the very forth-telling of God to the people of this world. And of course, this is his name given to him in the Scriptures, and a name with which he is highly exalted. He is the King, and he is the Priest, and he is the Prophet. He is the King, the Sovereign of this universe. He is the Priest that comes and brings us the way back to God and offers himself as a sacrifice on the cross. And he is the Prophet that tells us all that we need to know about ourselves and our God. He came to teach about salvation, to speak of coming things. He represents God to man and took on himself the penalty of our sins. He is the creator and ruler of the universe. This is the name. This is the name that is highly exalted. Friends, you see and hear what a name. The Prince of Life, he is called. The Prince of Life. All life comes from him. We have our biological understanding from our school books as to where we arrived from. Oh, friends, the Bible tells us what it's really all about. He is the Prince of Life. He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the spark that brings the two cells together and gives life, so that we grow up and we know what it is to be human beings and to relate to one another and to seek after our God. Our life comes from the Prince of Life. But oh, friends, he is the Prince of Life. That is his name. And he comes to bring spiritual life, to awaken our souls from the deadness that they are in by our trespasses and our sins. And he would grant us spiritual life so that he would place his Holy Spirit within us, so that our souls might be alive and aware of our God and praise him and worship him. But also, he is the Prince of Life. He would give us abundant life, life far above anything daily experienced by human unbelievers in this world. Abundant life, so that we can be aware of our God and love him and walk with him and know what it is to lay up treasure in heaven for this God who has blessed us. But also, of course, this Prince of Life comes to bring eternal life, that we might live forever with our God. What a name! The Prince of Life. And oh, friends, this name also that is given to him, that highly exalts him, is, of course, that he is the light of the world. Without Jesus Christ, there's no hope. We need revelation. We need understanding. We need spiritual wisdom to seek after our God. There's no hope for us unless God give us such light. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one. He is the light of the world. He alone can get us to heaven. And his name is the Friend of Sinners. Why? Friends, that's what even his enemies called him. He is the friend of publicans and sinners. But that's all our hope, for we are sinners. But oh, with what a name is he highly exalted, the Friend of Sinners, who will have pity on us and rescue us and make us his. And he is the Man of Sorrows, as Jeremiah says in his prophecy, the Man of Sorrows and acquainted with grief, says Isaiah. Oh, friends, a Man of Sorrows. He went through all that we might be forgiven and set free from our sins This is a wonder to our souls to think that he went through all that. The eternal Son of God came to be a man of sorrows, all that we might be saved. And he is the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist pointed to him, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, and he has taken away the sins of his people. He was perfect and went silently to his death. And he is the bread of life. He gives us sustenance, spiritual nourishment, so that we might live to his glory. He is the bread of life that sustains us and keeps us. And he is, as Paul calls him wonderfully, the unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift of God to this world. God gave him that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can't hardly say it. It's unspeakable. It's unfathomable. We can't believe that God should do such a thing, that he should give such a gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world, that we might be saved and forgiven and granted eternal life. Oh, what a name he is exalted with. He is the shepherd of his sheep, as he guides his people and leads them and keeps them and saves them. Oh, friends, what a name. What a name has the Saviour got. Christ's rule is forever. You see that in verse 10, that every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, earth, and under the earth, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this will be for all eternity as they think of him and his name and what he has done and his reputation. Even the damned will still be under his rule. His very name will be enough to cower them and to make them to tremble and to think of all their loss in eternity. He made all things and is above all things. His name is Creator. He had victory also over the devil. He won heaven for us. He took all the penalty upon himself, upon his cross. Friends, he was victorious there. This is his name, the victor over sin and death and hell. What a name. And he has written the book of life. He has written the word of God. He is the wonderful author of all the scriptures and the way for salvation. He is far above all people. He knows all things. His name is to do with his reputation. And our friends, his reputation is this, that he is the all-wise God. Our friends, and he is so approachable, and he is so kind. His name is magnificent. His name is wonderful. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and takes away his tears. Oh, friends, he is the approachable God. His name is like no other name. As we think of him and his reputation and his office and what he has done, oh, friends, he is perfectly pure. He can never disappoint us. His very name is Purity, the pure Son of God. Without him, we have nothing. We have nothing but this passing world. Oh, who do we look to today? Who do we look to? Who do we look up to? Oh, friends, maybe there are a few people in our land today that we look up to and say, well, we're glad he's around, and we're glad so-and-so's there and has done this, and we're glad someone's working in this situation and trying to sort this mess out. We look up to people, but friends, beyond all that, who do we look up to when it comes to eternity? Who do we look up to when we see all our wretched sin and failure? Who do we look up to when we see that physically we're failing? Well, friends, who do we look up to? Who do we look up to and wonder at and ask help from? Surely only the Saviour can help us. In him we have everything. We must come and seek him as our Saviour. Or we sing with the children, when we call him Saviour, we call him by his name. Oh, this sums up this wonderful one. This one that came from heaven's glory and came with no reputation, but came into this world to die in the place of sinners like us. He's the Saviour. Jesus, Saviour, Deliverer. Oh, friends, we know that in the past we have set much score by many names. Why, when Britain was at its darkest hour, at the beginning of the Second World War, people were so down. America didn't seem to want to help us. The forces set against us were so awful. But then we had a new Prime Minister, and people began to say, Churchill, Churchill, he'll see us through. That's the name people like to hear. He would encourage us with his great speeches and his insight into what was needed to win such a war. And so everyone depended on the name. They depended on the name of Churchill. Oh, friends. And then there were other occasions when that war with France, the Napoleonic Wars, were in such a state. But we looked to our fleet, and there was Nelson. And the sailors were given such brave hearts because Nelson was their leader and their admiral, and there at Trafalgar. The two fleets coming together so slowly, hardly a wind on that day. And there the fleets come together. And at first, it looks as if there's been a great mistake, because the British men of war were under heavy fire from the French and the Spanish, and it seemed as if all were lost. But the sailors and the captains of the different ships, they all understood. Nelson knew what he was doing. He knew how to fight such a sea battle. And as the minutes went by, and the half hours, and even the couple of hours went by, they saw that they were in the most advantageous position. And then went the broadsides out against the French and Spanish and blew them out of the water. And Nelson had won, though he died in his moment of triumph. But Nelson was the name. Nelson was the name that was on the lips of all the sailors. We can trust him when they were being blown to pieces. And then in the end, it turns around a right. Well, of course, and there was that darkest time in Victorian age in East Africa, amongst those tribes where the twins were being slaughtered, as being seen as devilish. And there was Mary Slessor, and the name was upon the lips of all mothers that had twins. I must seek out Mary Slessor. I must seek her, and she would be the saviour of the children. And had a vast, vast family of orphan twins at that time. And Slessor was the name on the lips of many as a person of love, kindness and consideration and very great wisdom. What a name to have in such a situation. And King Alfred, in times when the country was completely overridden by the Vikings, and Alfred in a terrible state and poverty stricken and hardly a man with him, then the people began to say, but Alfred is with us, and he earns his name, Alfred the Great, as he takes the English people and fights against the Danes, and indeed in the end scores a great victory over them. And the orphans there in Bristol in Victorian age, many of them destitute, dying of disease and poverty and hunger, until the George Muller arrives. And people begin to think, what's this George Muller? What's he doing? This foreigner in our country. He begins to build great houses with bedrooms, and he employs people to look after children, and the children are saved, and the name goes throughout the city. George Muller, though without a penny to his name, is able to succour so many children. He had a name and a reputation. Oh, friends. But none of these names count when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, a saviour. They don't compare. His is a name which is above every name. His reputation and what he has done will live throughout all eternity. We need him. We need him, and all that it might be that the name of the Saviour might be sweet to our hearts, because we've come to trust him and believe in him and to seek his forgiveness for all our sins. What a name. What a name. What will we think of it in eternity? Will it be all our love and all our worship, or will we cringe under it because we have not come and owned the salvation that he can bring to our souls? Oh, friends, think of the Saviour. Come to him and know his blessing, even eternal life. Amen.